Life Audio.
Today on Talk About That, John ponders revenge songs and defaces public property. Meanwhile, I think movies have gotten way too long and get booked to perform comedy during a solar eclipse. Plus a conversation about what technology is doing to our brains and why boredom feeds creativity. Today's episode is not sponsored by broth. It's tea made of meat. And now a word from our actual sponsor.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together, we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
It's time with two friends just to hang out and chat and talk about that. John and Johnny for another action-packed episode.
Talk about chat. Why didn't we?
Man, we've missed so many opportunities.
Why don't we
talk about Chet? Isn't that your cousin? Your cousin Chet?
Yeah.
Love that guy.
You don't see Chets very much anymore.
Chet was the name. Remember the guy?
Is that a nickname? What would it be short for? Chesterton?
Chester?
Chester, maybe? But what's Chester short for? Chesterton?
I don't know.
What is Chet?
That's a great question. And there's no way
to know. What is Chad? Chadwick?
Chad.
Chad's short for Chadwick, but people don't name their kid Chadwick. I'm amazed there are still Chads out there.
Yeah, Chad's a very...
Chad's taken a hit.
It's a real mid-90s name.
Yeah. It's a very, like, I'm the villain in a John Cusack movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very... For me, it's very, I play middle linebacker on the football team in high school and still wear my letter jacket. Sorry, yeah. Chad.
I gave Anthony Michael Hall a swirly in a John Hughes movie.
Right.
I'm Chad.
Hey.
Or Chet.
Remember?
Chet's like a rich Chad. You know what I'm saying?
No, Chet.
No. Chet is Chad with money, with some pedigree.
Do you recall a little movie we like to call Weird Science?
Of course. Yeah.
Chet was the older brother. Remember always like burping in his face?
Uh-huh.
He was kind of like a gross older brother hazing the younger brother all the time.
Yeah.
And in the end, like...
He gets his. Yeah.
Speaking of, do you listen to Taylor Swift?
A little bit. Not like you. I'm not a volleyball dad.
Well, I got to tell you something.
I don't have a... Is she 14 or 13?
She's 14. She'll be 15 this summer.
Yeah.
Let that sink in.
Man. Where does the time? Hey, the days are long, but the years fly by. Isn't that what they say?
Oh, goodness. Yeah.
That's true, right?
It is true. It's very true.
I think
true.
It's true for everything, not just childhood, but yeah.
I want to tell you something. I don't want to get on Taylor's bad side. She writes a really good revenge song.
That's her entire career.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm really impressed with her writing. Listening, I'm very impressed with your talent.
I wonder if she's this person like Michael Jordan would invent. Like things to be irritated about.
Right.
He would kind of create, he even said this after his career, I would create like slights in my mind, like that player didn't shake my hand after the game.
Right. I'm going to go drop 50 now.
Yeah. And I wonder if T Swift has a little bit of that in her. She's got a little MJ in her.
Little edge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where it's like,
a little contrived edge.
Like, I wonder if some of these ex-boyfriends are like, it wasn't that bad. It was just a normal breakup.
Right.
Like, she makes it sound like there was, like, PTSD.
Yeah. Yeah, the one song she has where she says, if it's so wrong, why did it feel so right? And she's like, I do it over and over again. And the whole song is about, like, you got to drop them before they can drop you.
Yeah.
But she has this one line, and it's, like, savage. Mm-hmm. She's like, you know, I let him think he's saving me. We fly around the world, basically, on my jet. But in the end, if he dropped my name and spent my change, he had it coming. Like,
dang.
Is like,
if so you everybody spent can relate my, to that. If you fly around on my jet and you.
Right. But if you spent my. I mean, when she says he spent my change, I'm like, wow. Because that means, like, she's so rich that anything that you did.
Do you think that's what it meant? Or do you think change is just a word for her money? You think
yeah,
she
her
means
money.
Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
but I'm saying she's saying it like. That's just the change you would get out of my couch cushions, what you spent.
Yeah, you were on my jet, and that was just changed me. So, since sorry, you shouldn't have told anyone we were dating, because now...
Does she ever name and shame, though, who these people are?
Probably, in interviews.
People draw conclusions of, like, well, that was John Mayer, that was...
Right.
Whoever, Jake Gyllenhaal. I can't remember all the people she's dated, but, like, does she ever say for sure, like, no, this song is about that? Because I know in... We grew up in, you know, when we graduated high school, or when I did, that was the alternative scene. So you had bands like Pearl Jam and stuff, and they would not want people to know what their songs were about.
Right.
They wanted to not kill the mystique of even a song like Jeremy, which is like about like a school shooting or something.
Yeah.
They didn't want people to, they go, just draw your own, whatever. We don't want to. But then you have these songs now where it's like, no, that was about Pete Davidson.
That was about Johnny.
Yeah.
I don't know. Johnny, I know you're going to be shocked to find this.
Yeah.
But I'm not, like, huge in the whole TikTok scene or whatever. I'm not, like, following or listening.
Is there a
to all
scene? Okay. I've not been invited.
I'm not really listening to all the interviews out there either. You know what? I think, you can follow a little bit of her journey. I will say this. There's one poignant song, you know, where she basically says, I'm the problem. You know, it's me.
Right.
I'm the problem. It's me. And
wait, how does it go? Yeah, John, I know. I'm aware of that song.
It. But when she says... I will stare directly at the sun, but never in the mirror. Like, that's a really powerful.
But what if she was like, oh, that was about a guy I dated too. I was taking on the role of him in that song.
What if, like, she's literally looking into the sun and that's really why she has a problem? Like,
that would be a problem.
Burning her retinas.
I got a booking in Arkansas.
With Taylor Swift.
Not to brag.
Okay.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it.
Yeah.
I told her I wanted to headline.
And she was like, if you want to spend my change,
she's
coming.
Yeah, my song is incoming from her, I'm sure. No, I did get a booking, though. It reminded me when you said that. So you get these requests sometimes to the website, which if you ever want to bring me to your event, I'd love to. Go to johnnyw.com.
Wow, shameless.
Shameless plug. I got to eat, John. But anyway, one came in, so it was like for 2024, like April.
Wow.
And I'm like, what in the world? And I've had a few of those. One of them is to like go to Wasilla, Alaska.
Oh.
So I'm going to Alaska in 2024 already. That's exciting. Look forward to that.
The Johnny W. Alaskan Cruise.
Maybe.
We can like...
I'm probably going to fly.
Book up now. Guys, we're looking for that $3,000 champion.
You'll be in my jet spending my change. No, but... So this one was for like rural Arkansas. But evidently what it is, there's a festival in the town and they're building it around the solar eclipse that's coming that year.
Wow.
And so they're doing all these community events because they know they're in the direct path or the 100% path.
Uh-huh.
So only a few areas of the country are going to be in that path where you get a complete blackout.
Wow.
And so some of these small towns, they're planning cultural events because they know there's going to be a ton of people that just stop in there to be there, drive in from out of town to just witness the eclipse. And so they're planning on doing like a comedy show with it won't be during the eclipse, sure.
I'm going to come with a cool
name. Hey, let's go. Yeah. So I think that's kind of weird. And it's one of the strangest.
Do you really want to compete with like a solar eclipse?
Yeah, a huge, like universal event.
Right. Like, hey, everybody. And now this guy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I hope
here's a wonder of nature. And here.
Yeah, I hope that's not what it is.
Yeah.
I really hope that it's not just like a bunch of distracted.
We need you to tell your best joke at the moment of the actual eclipse.
A bunch of distracted people with no retinas left because they... bought faulty glasses on.
They're looking at you through all these shaded.
Yeah, they went to Amazon and bought glasses that were made in whatever. And
do not stare directly at the comedian.
Yeah,
yeah.
So I hope that's not what it is, but it's one of those things where you got to go, right? That's one of those things you say yes to because what's it? What's that going to be like?
Yeah.
And I wonder because Mount Juliet, where we do this podcast from, is a town that was a tiny nowhere town, like a
until we started the podcast,
right?
Right.
It was kind of a blip on your way to something else.
Mm.
And then this town has kind of grown up a little bit. And I wonder if that's kind of what's... There are tons of those towns like that all over the U.S.
Hey, we see you, Mount Juliet.
We do see you. You got some stuff you need to clean up, but...
We need you to... Yeah.
We won't go into it.
No.
But there are a certain few residents that we are not super proud of.
Speaking of, I got to tell you a story about cleanup. Go ahead.
Okay. But all that said, speaking of Mount Juliet cleanup, you know, remember when I worked here at the church, that's one of the things we did one day. We did a community cleanup day because we had adopted some stretch of the highway. Yeah,
that's part of my story.
Okay. And I was part of that cleanup. I helped.
You helped one day when we adopt a highway?
Well, I mean,
see
I
your
took.
Commitment.
No, what happened was I was young adults pastor and I took our college group out and we spent the day.
I wonder how much trash got dropped that day in addition to being picked up.
We got a few bags, but it was hard. It's hard to get people to volunteer for something like that, college kids, on a Saturday morning.
Yeah.
Hey, give up your Saturday. Let's go pick up trash.
I don't know why. It's not a good college pastor would help them see the value.
You're saying I'm a bad motivator.
No, I'm saying you're a bad pastor. So I don't want to be offensive. You're a great pastor. That's one of those things. I followed you in that position. It was a hard follow. There's still people to that day. Because you were doing the living room.
Right.
And then I moved it to what was called Numa. And it was very... They were like, I wish we were just back at the living room and just hanging out.
They did not say that.
Plenty of people say that.
Really?
I miss the living room, yeah.
They would bring it back.
And I was like, guys, Johnny was a heretic.
we had to get him out.
I'm trying to undo all that he did wrong. No, I mean, I remember that. I may have cut off your story.
No, you're fine. I just remember like picking up. Like it's just a strange. And then it gives you weird feelings about your city because you're like, garbage people live here that would do this. Just throwing trash out.
Yeah, I don't
stinking
understand.
Stinking litter bugs.
Yeah, littering really does offend me now.
Yeah.
In a different way.
This is a good focus for the podcast now.
Yeah.
Just community endeavors and stamping out littering.
If we can stop one of you from throwing a piece of trash.
Renew, reduce, recycle. Wait, reduce, reuse.
Wait.
I don't know.
Reuse.
Renew. Renew's not in there?
I don't know.
I'm adding like
is
a spiritual, spiritual element to it.
Johnny's all about renewal.
It's reduce, reuse, recycle.
We had a staff member this week who's not from our traditions.
Yeah.
And we were talking about an event and the word renewal came up.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, you know, that's...
And it wasn't like for your life insurance. It was like spiritual renewal.
But it was great the way he was using it. It was actually about like community,
just,
you know, getting back in.
Revitalization.
Committing for the year, those kind of things. We were like, yeah, but the problem is you know, that term is very burned in our history.
Was used to mean
if you have renewal.
A 25-day revival where you're not doing anything else but like listening to worship music and...
Well, that'd be great. I could have handled some worship
going to like 24-hour sermons.
It's an hour-long evangelist, you know, delivery then with another hour of altar time kind of thing on a weeknight.
Yeah.
The ones that really, there were some good things that happened in those days. I'm not poo-pooing all of it, which poo-poo is a real word.
John, we've talked about this.
I know, but I always feel like...
We're not besmirching it.
Nice.
You like that?
I feel as if there's this vociferous reaction.
We got dictionaries for Christmas, you guys. Thesauruses, both of us. Word of the day calendar. John's peeling them off over here.
I feel like the people who really suffered the most were the ones who were in nursery during those times.
Oh,
like
watching
the kids and stuff.
There was Bob Smiley, my comedian friend. He did an event, and I think it was for a game, but it looked like a gigantic, one of those big pulpits that you'd see built.
Yeah.
But it was a gigantic hourglass.
Uh-huh.
And he was like, this is the best pulpit. And he was imagining it as like a pulpit where you have to stand behind it. And when the sand runs out, you got to be done. And I'd be like, it's so funny, but also kind of a good idea. But also the people would not focus because they'd be focused on the sand. Like if they could see the clock, you can see, in other words, because you have a clock in the back of the room.
Yeah.
But if it was in the front of the room.
Right.
Now they're looking at that clock going, I don't know how he's going to wrap this up. He's got 5 minutes. He's not even to the closing scripture. He's not even said, as I close.
Right. He hasn't even begun his first closing.
Yeah.
And you know what, listener? This is our first our first break to just have a short word from one of our sponsors.
Hello, folks. My name is Derek Greer, and I'm reaching out to fellow pastors and church leaders just like you to join me and other Christian leaders and organizations throughout the nation as we come together on June 8th and 9th for National Unity Weekend. Together we will show the love of Jesus as we serve our communities on Saturday, June 8th, and then preach from a shared text on Sunday, June 9th. To register, go to unityweekend.com. That's unityweekend.com to join us as we unite the church and unite the nation.
I actually have put the clock up front before.
Really?
Like, we've done that as
like a challenge?
Well, it's a... Okay,
to yourself?
Me and Andrew are going to do a tag team today.
Okay.
And put the 15-minute clock up.
It's like Pardon the Interruption.
Yeah. And it really is fun. Like, the people are engaged.
Does a bell go off? Does a ding? And you need a sound effect.
I don't know what we do at the end. I try to wrap it.
There needs to be a punishment for going over.
It's a really good exercise.
Yeah.
Like, for me, because I've actually tried to shorten. I'm pretty much a 40-minute preacher now, and I used to be probably a 45 to 50 every time.
Is that what you think?
No, I do the time.
But I've seen you preach an hour before. Don't say you used to be a 45
to 50.
I haven't
preached an hour in a long time.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I remember
but
the hour 50 days.
To 55 was
that
common.
Used to be the standard, like, you need to be able to do an hour if you're going to call yourself a preacher.
Yeah, right. And then I got down to 50, uh-huh. And I'm down to 40 now.
Man, it won't be long.
Come on.
You won't be preaching at all.
Well, my friend John
now
Kerry.
Now that's church.
Man, come on,
wait,
guys.
Hold on.
There are people, they come up, you know what? I just wish we could do more worship. And as a guy who's a worship leader and a preacher, you know, I kind of feel like I'd speak to that a little bit.
Okay.
I'd be like,
get thee behind me, Satan. Like, what are you gonna say to those people?
Well, like,
yeah.
Okay, there's a night or whatever we can do that. Mm. But if you're literally saying you hope
let's
that
just,
we don't stop and like study God's word together.
Right.
Because it just feels good to worship. And I was great with this. Sometimes I need that. And I'm actually moving into, like, yesterday I practiced a spiritual, I guess, historical practice. I use practice. I practice to practice.
Okay.
But it's a practice that I don't do a lot of, and we don't do in the modern age.
Like, self-flagellation. Beat yourself with reeds.
It was unbelievable.
Sackcloth and ashes. What did you do?
So great. Oh. I sat for 10 minutes in silence.
Okay. That's a tough one these days.
Yeah. I did 10 minutes of silence, and it was pretty awesome.
Sensory deprivation.
Yeah, I went to the... Now, it's hard. I can still hear the horns honking outside on the road and stuff.
Where were you at?
I went in the sanctuary.
Oh, you heard road noise?
Yeah. From here.
You need a... what's those hyperbaric... Not hyperbaric, but sensory deprivation tanks.
Going to hyperbaric... Well, I don't know if the whole point is... Like, if you go into the woods, it's not silence.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You still
nature.
Hear nature. But I'm trying to... Like, so this morning, I got here early, and I had a call
for
like 10 minutes, and I turned the fire pit on.
Mm-hmm.
Set by the fire, you know, and just in silence. And I'm trying not to just be like go through like in my head. I'm praying and other things, but trying to get a little more just sit.
Yeah, there was on Nateland podcast, Aaron Weber, who's a comedian, but he was a philosophy major, and so he talks sometimes about philosophical concepts on their podcast, which is kind of funny because Nate's always like what, and they kind of blows their minds. But he was talking about. His theory is that the innovations that we've had in our lifetime have come out of like boredom and desperation, and we have it's in short supply now. Both of those things are in short supply.
Yeah,
we don't have as much desperation because all our technological advancements and medical advancements have taken desperation in as much as it was two generations ago off the table.
Right.
And boredom has completely been taken out of our lives.
Yeah.
We can constantly be engaging with something. So technology, for better or for worse. So like when a new iPhone comes out, for instance, I'm at the point where I'm like, well, what can they do with an iPhone that I don't already have?
Yeah.
Why do I feel forced to buy this new thing? Show me what it does. In the beginning when they go, you can have the real internet on your phone. I'm like, yes, sign me up.
Right.
Because before it was like some weird, horrible version of it. Minimalist version of the internet. Now it's like, you're telling me I have a touchscreen internet computer in my hand? Let's go. But after that, the innovations got a little more incrementally less impressive to me.
Yeah.
But they're still forcing you to go to the 13 and 14 and phasing out the 5 and 6, like not even offering services for it.
Mm-hmm.
It irritates me more. But I think those innovations, they came out of, like when you sit in boredom, like you said, you're more likely to have a great idea. But we don't allow ourselves that time.
No, and I tell Sadie that all the time. Like, hey, you're a teenager. You need to be bored.
Yeah.
There's sometimes you don't need to have something, and you need to deal with that.
Yeah, sit in it.
Like, that's a thing. There's a little disappointment there.
She's like in the pool. She's like, okay, I'll do it. And she's splashing. No, you're right. I think people should turn off this podcast right now and go sit for 10 minutes.
Stop the technology.
Come back. Don't forget to turn it back on. Please.
No, I want you to unsubscribe.
Oh.
I'm just kidding. Please don't unsubscribe.
Yeah.
No, I mean, there's something to be said for it. And here's the thing. We don't know all the downstream effects yet because we're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
But we're going to see in another 20, 30 years what the effects are later in life.
Yeah.
Of never sitting still with your thoughts, always. And there's research about it now. And I'm not trying to be like the sky's falling kind of guy.
No, it's not like a moral panic. It's just it is an evolution that's happening to our brains from this outside sensory thing that we've invented now, because now everyone's online. I don't mean like the internet. I just mean like we've come online to this technology advancements. And so there's no way to just, you can go off the grid, but you'd be it'd be hard for you to live your life off the grid.
It would.
And you'd be called a kook, and everybody in your life wouldn't do it. So you'd still be isolationist. You'd be called a kook.
Well, there's going to be a backlash, and it's already started, by the younger generation. I actually have been predicting this.
Yeah.
That I think there's going to come a time where there's sort of this anti-establishment.
A generation of Luddites.
Where they're going to say, hey, I don't want to be that connected.
Yeah.
I don't want the, you know, infiltration of my life as an expectation to be a part of this generation. So there's like a big resurgence of flip phones among young people.
Uh-huh. And cassette tapes are coming back, and at shows you see these bands that have cassette tapes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It's like it's like an analog revival.
Yeah.
Renewal, if you will.
We'll take it. Yeah, we're taking it back. It's Luddite. It's very like the Luddites were against technology, and they wanted to work with like hand tools.
Yeah.
They didn't want to use, I think that's their, what that's all about. So you see like, I don't know, like the dangers of even like, we've talked about before about, Kaczynski's manifesto. There was the Unabomber, he did all this crazy stuff, but he was a professor. Like a lot of what his manifesto said, it had bits of truth. It was so propaganda,
yeah,
which is what propaganda is. It's half the truth. It's an extreme viewpoint. But I've seen documentaries about Ted Kaczynski since, 20 years down the road or whatever. And it's like he had so many things right about how machines doing work for us will dehumanize us. And machines taking our jobs away will dehumanize us. And being online all the time will take away the soul of a person if you're not careful. So I think that's what people are rebelling against, is that idea that I don't like the addiction to this. It feels like we just have a drug that we're all on all the time.
Yeah, I agree. And there's a pressure to stay addicted.
Yeah.
There is a shame for not.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
Like FOMO. FOMO, we made up FOMO. Fear of missing out. If I cancel my Facebook, what about all the invitations that I won't get? Or what about the things in people's lives I'll miss? So you stay on it even though you hate it.
You know, and I'm pretty like, we have millennials and here's what's funny is we have people who are between millennials and Z on the staff.
Yeah. What do you call them?
Well, they're Zennials.
Okay.
And
sounds like some super space age.
Well, they're just between their spanning,
people.
Yeah. But they don't want to be Z. They're real like, no, don't call me Z.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
And so I'm around, like, again, they say swag. They say sick a lot.
Mm.
Like it was so funny, and I hope they listen to this, because I told them this. When we hired Jake and Abby, like in the interview, they said sick at least 20 times, and I loved it.
Yeah.
So this is what I need for our kids,
Yeah.
It's like, well, we do this thing where we help, feed the kids in the neighborhood, in our community with backpacks on the weekends. Sick. And I was like,
yeah,
this is...
It is sick.
You're right. And we had cool and bad.
We
do
this
stuff.
Thing where we visit people in the hospitals who are sick.
Sick.
Yeah.
But like, and swag, one of them told me that I started saying swag kind of as a joke, and now I can't stop. Like, it kind of became a thing. But like,
if you start saying it, they'll stop saying it.
That'll help.
Yeah. That's what Snoop Dogg said on Jimmy Kimmel one time. They were like, how do you know, how do rappers and like black culture, how do they know when a word is not cool anymore?
Yeah.
Like, how did you know when to stop saying
And he probably said when you started saying
it. Yes, he did. He goes, when white people start saying
it. Well, and so Sadie the other day said, slaps. That slaps.
Okay.
And I was like, this is the shame of it. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay. Is that good? Or yeah. Is that bad?
Is it good for things to slap?
And she thought I was absolutely an idiot for not knowing.
Right. I would know that. I've seen that before.
And I was like, yeah. Well, yeah, I just haven't.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm not up on this one thing.
Yeah.
Like, call me whenever your generation, you know, learns how to read. You know what I'm saying?
Whoa,
like,
hey.
I didn't say that.
Yikes.
But, you know, call me when you guys could, you know, sit through a 30-minute presentation without looking at your phones. And then I didn't say that to her.
You know what's weird? I thought about this the other day. Old man shouting at the clouds and talking about attention spans. But movies have gotten longer.
Yeah.
We talk about attention spans, but when people sit down to watch a movie, even like a Marvel movie, is 2.5 hours. Somebody was talking about Fargo the other day, which is it won Best Picture in, I can't remember what year, 97. Anyway, it's a Coen Brothers movie. It's a classic. Steve Buscemi, just amazing movie. And it was an hour, it was 90 minutes long. And somebody posted on Twitter about it, like, I'll watch this again, and I can't believe it was only 90 minutes long. And I was like, yeah, what happened where we just started letting these directors just not edit their work? Every movie that I see now is about a half hour. Even if I like it, it's about a half hour too long.
Do you think it's just like maybe that's the take for the give, if there's a give and take? Like, hey, everything else is short snippets, but we're going to have this one piece thing of art
that
this
we just
one
put it all
that we're going to make sure it has a fullness to it. You do feel like that they're stimulated in much more in the movie. If I watch a 2-hour movie, it's like, I can't believe they pulled all that off. They have to have action much quicker.
Yeah.
A lot less dialogue, right. You know, and the dialogue is more targeted sometimes, which is good.
Yeah.
You're not going to see a longer conversation.
I like when I watch something now that's built for this a modern audience, but it's more of a slow burn character development piece.
Yeah.
I'm always like, oh, I remember what this was like.
Yeah.
You used to be able to get away with that, and now it feels like, yeah, you got to have a nuclear explosion in the first reel of the film, the first 20 minutes of the show. You got to have a bad guy killing another bad guy, and you got to figure out, why did he do that? Whereas before, you would build the show and character. I mean, there's still things like that have a slow, that are, you know, Downton Abbey and some things that are really built on interpersonal relationships. But I just mean in general, yeah, you're right. It's like there's a pressure to just come out just firing.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that is. But I do think it's not great for, I mean, literally, I can't remember the last movie that I saw that I was like, that is something that I would watch again and again. And it was like this seminal experience that I just loved and whatever. Most things are really disposable now. And they feel about 30 minutes too long. Even things I like.
The second Black Panther movie I would watch again.
Yeah.
I thought it was really good.
Like, how many movies have come out that have been like The Shawshank Redemption, where if it's on TNT, you're going to sit down and...
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say like they're not making good art anymore. That's dumb. I really hate that about... As people get in their 40s like us, we start saying things like, they don't make good music anymore, they don't make good whatever.
Yeah,
and I'm not saying that. But I do think it's interesting. It's become more of an artist's medium, and less suits are involved that can say, you can't make that. So what I think's happening is, like, you even talk about that with books you make, where you need an editor.
Right.
You need somebody to go, John, this is great. It needs to be 5,000 words less. And you hate that moment, but they've made the book better.
Yeah.
I think maybe there's less of those people in the mix now. So now you have these Marvel movies that are almost 3 hours, and you go, what did Kevin Costner do to us in the 90s? Like, Dances with Wolves and The Postman and those movies, they were so bloated, and we knew it at the time, though.
Yeah.
But now almost every movie is that.
Yeah, I mean,
I want a good 89-minute just experience, a good like roller coaster ride.
Yeah, well, they have them.
Get in, get out.
Like,
even cartoons, Disney cartoons are 2 hours.
Yeah,
like Toy Story was over 2 hours.
Yeah,
the newest ones. You know, I don't know what the original.
I don't
Toy
know.
Story
I mean,
was.
I think I like a longer movie.
Maybe you feel like you're getting more of your money, because movies are expensive to go see.
I feel like if I'm there, if I'm going to disengage,
yeah,
it lets me escape longer.
But I just mean, I'm just interesting. I think it's interesting the juxtaposition between today's people don't have the attention spans, we say, and yet
Yeah.
One medium that they've chosen to express themselves
but
in.
But their whole time, they're probably on their phones halfway through.
Maybe.
So that's the thing. It's like double screen.
Yeah. Do you ever like, we talked about this one time on the podcast, but do you ever feel like you pat yourself on the back when you put down one of your screens to focus on the other screen?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, I'm going to put my phone down and enjoy this other.
I'm here. Yeah.
I'm going to be in this moment.
Have you ever got mad at your wife for looking at one screen when you're supposed to both be looking at
100%.
The other? 100%. Yeah. Like, hey, can you not dial it in here?
There's a thing where if you're both on your phone and she puts her phone down first and looks over at you on your phone, there's like a clock going off in her head of like, God, you're always on your phone. But she just put her phone down.
Yeah. Yeah, we've had that. We've had to adjust. I'll be like, hey, Laura, and I'm sorry, honey, I love you, but you still do this. Like, she will look down and spend 30 seconds answering something important.
Yeah.
And miss something really critical.
Uh-huh.
Like, they've moved to it. They've time traveled.
In the show you're watching.
Right. And now it's 1942, and we're a whole different place. And she just misses it. It's like, if I look down, I push pause. Like, I don't want to miss.
Uh-huh.
The flow, and for her, it's like, yeah, that couldn't have
but
been.
But if you
that
pause
important.
It, you feel like you've made that decision for the entire room. That's
okay. I started saying, you want me to pause it? Or I'll just pause it for her.
Curry gets mad if she's nodding off during a show. If I notice that she's falling asleep, and I'll just be like, let's just watch this tomorrow. She's like, no, stop it. Like, she'll get mad. I'm awake. I go, baby, you're not awake. She gets so furious. I'm just like, we can watch, we can pick this up.
I think Laura gets mad at me for falling asleep sometimes.
Yeah. Like you're the one who falls asleep.
We both do it. When she does it.
Because Curry gets so comfortable. I'm like, sit up. If you want to watch sit up and let's watch the show. When you lay down with your head this way on your side, like it's sleeping, but she's got a pillow. This is sleeping. This is the natural sleeping position. You're not watching the show. You've got one eye on it. She goes, I'm good. No, you're not.
See, we have this heated and cooled mattress thing.
Yeah.
That's like a smart, use your phone. Because Laura gets so hot in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can program it to be like three, like this, it's 10 on each side. You can program it to go cold and like with your sleep patterns.
Okay.
I get in the bed and turn it on like a bathtub, like every night.
So you want to be warm.
I'll turn on to like 10.
You don't sweat in your sleep?
No, then I have it programmed to go off or whatever when I'm sleeping, but just to like, just comfortable, just watching.
You put your life in the hands of this device, smart device. It's like, it's going to roast you alive one day. You're a burrito. Oh, I trust the machines it'll regulate.
It's fine. But like, it will get me so warm.
Yeah.
That yes, I'll.
There's
I'll
no way.
Nod off
you can't fight it.
8:30.
It's like you're in
whatever.
The womb. Yeah.
It is like a, it's, I have to be careful with that. But no, she will. It's funny. We'll laugh. It's like, if I fall asleep, I feel like she's upset.
Yeah. You've been betrayed.
But if she falls asleep, I feel like it's cute.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, sorry. And it is cute. I'm like, dang it, you're cute. Like, you know, she's funny when she falls asleep, and I'm ruining the experience.
You're ruining the movie.
Right. I don't know what. We've accepted, and all the married people out there, I think there's a health to this.
Yeah.
There are double standards in marriage.
Yeah.
And it's just okay.
Jeff Allen has a bit about how they always fall asleep during the first 10 minutes of every Law and Order that they watch.
Yeah.
And so they'll be watching one, or his wife always does, and they'll be watching one, and she'll be like, we've seen this one. He's like, give it a few minutes. It picks up. We haven't, because she's never seen the second half of them.
Well, and in all seriousness, we both have been falling asleep so much lately. We did it last night. We're like, did we? She's like, no, we watched this. It's like, we don't know which one has seen which part.
We need the recaps.
We have to back up and go, do you remember this? She'll look at me. I'll go, do you remember this? She's like, no. I was like, okay, well, I watched way past this. And then the next night, it's like, she's like, do you remember this? It's like, no. So like, we're falling asleep now. We're alternating. Which, hey, Johnny, the couple that falls asleep together, that's kind of the definition
that's
of marriage.
That's part of.
Yeah, that's just really what it is.
Yeah.
I don't think it has any.
Do you think, could you ever see yourself being a separate rooms person, like the snoring and the thing? Have you ever reached that point?
I have reached that point.
Yeah.
Because I have a coughing problem, which has happened on the podcast.
Oh, right.
So if I think and she sleeps so delicately.
Where do you go?
Spare.
Okay.
Like, if I think I'm going to keep her up, I will just go ahead and relieve the pressure of it. Because then I'll sit there and not sleep all night, trying to suppress a cough. I'll get up and go into the bathroom and cough into a towel. Like, just trying to, because, I mean, I'm like, and then I'm going, what's the point of this? You know what I'm saying? At this point now, I've been up for an hour.
This is
trying to preserve her sleep. So I'll just remove myself if it's bad. So,
man, you've never been that kind to me. You wouldn't cough into a towel for me.
Well, Johnny, if we couldn't wake you up.
That's true. You could fire a gun over
there.
You
could drive a dump truck through a nitroglycerin plant, which is from?
I don't know.
That's from Christmas Vacation. Oh. That's when. What was the guy's name? The old guy that burns the tree up. You couldn't hear a dump truck driving through a nitroglycerin plant.
I don't remember. Uncle so-and-so.
It's a... what's his name?
I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, you're right. I sleep like a stone.
Yeah.
Like there could be storms and whatever, and right. I just... Oh, there was?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That must be awesome.
Especially now with the melatonin, I'm out.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would dream of being in the storm.
Right, and you couldn't get out of it.
Flying, and
you're just like a tornado chaser.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Big.
Hey, I do need to tell you, I may or may not have broken a law.
Oh.
And this feels like a good time.
Yeah, let's get it out here.
Privately.
This is the proper forum.
Yeah. So, you know, our church used to have a different name. I'm not going to say what it was.
Oh.
Because this is part of the story.
The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day
Saints. It
was not that.
I don't want to use that. The name's fine. I don't want to use it anymore. And we've worked pretty hard to make that not our name and to, you know, reinvent ourselves in the community a little bit. Because we're very different. Very different.
Yeah.
And so the other day, back to your Adopt-a-Highway thing, like the state puts up that old church name on a sign right at the main exit.
Currently?
Yes.
We're still sponsoring it?
No.
Oh. They just didn't have
it. It was just in the old records, I guess, and they've been redoing and repaving and put up new signs.
They shouldn't give you that sign unless you're doing something. Give you credit.
So suddenly our old church name reappears. It's huge. It's probably, you know, 4 foot by, you know, 20 inches high.
So you got to go, now what are we doing? What's the plan?
So then I instruct some people on staff, like, hey, reach out to the city.
Oh, no.
So they reach out to the city, like, well, that's a state highway. So now we're reaching out to the state, and we send email after email after email.
Huh. Well, you know, it's government. They'll probably help you.
Right.
No.
It's been like, what, I don't know, 2 months now?
Uh-huh.
And people are just driving by, and I'm thinking, like, I'm like, and this is the thing. It's not just about the name and the sign. Like, inefficiency in systems drives me crazy. There's a solvable problem.
Yeah. Did you solve this problem by... What did you do, John?
I took a ladder.
Down to the street?
I took a tool belt. I took down the sign.
Wait a minute. You like...
And then I took the sign.
Took a drill.
And I put it... Yeah. I undrilled it. And I put the sign in Andrew's office.
So he could be traumatized,
and
you wipe down the evidence. His would be the only fingerprint.
I sent a text to the staff with a picture of it. I was like, "Don't mess with me."
Yeah.
Any of you want to put up errant signs around the city? I'm coming for you next.
Yeah.
Like it was. You know,
did you drop a bunch of litter at the base of the sign?
I was just like, you know what? I just ate myself up.
This is what you.
It was
get.
Right in front of McDonald's. So
there you go.
Went ahead and had myself a quarter pounder through the. No, I did not litter.
Any excuse to have a quarter pounder.
The truth is, and it's so funny, I tried, because so Andrew is the king of reveals, you know.
Would you be okay with having our current church name been on there? Although we're not doing the work. We're not doing the litter pickup.
That's the thing. I wouldn't mind the good promotion.
Yeah.
But also, I don't have the volunteer force in place right now to do that.
Volunteer force sounds awesome.
It's supposed to be.
I can't wait to sign up. Do we get outfits?
It says... This stretch adopted for the next 2 miles.
Yeah. Oh, no. We never did 2 miles.
Which is Providence.
Yeah.
All the way, like, out to Stewart's Ferry, basically.
Yeah, we never did that.
I'm like, there's no way right now.
Well, we never did. I mean, I can't remember ever picking up 2 miles worth of garbage.
So, to me, like, I don't want credit for something we're not doing.
Maybe I just gave up early, though.
But I really don't want the wrong name floating around the city anymore, either.
Yeah.
So I just let it ride, as I have now.
So now nobody's sponsoring.
So I walked in and Julie's upstairs in her office. And I showed her the sign. She was like, I think you may have just broken a couple of state laws.
Wow. And now you've admitted it.
I've admitted it. But the truth is, actually, I called our chief of police in the city before I did it.
And they had a good chuckle about it.
And I was like, before I did it, I was like, hey, and told him the situation.
Yeah.
And then he was like, hey, reach out to this other city official, one of the planners who I know.
Yeah.
talk to him. If he's okay with it, I'm okay. And he was like, yeah, go ahead. Just let the state know you took it down or whatever.
You know? Oh, so you asked permission.
I did, but I tried to act like I was
I feel
this...
like the first part of your story, you were trying to come off like a real renegade.
Yes, because that's what Andrew would do. He'd like not tell you that the whole time it was all approved.
Andrew needs to stay off ladders, first of all.
Yeah, we don't let him. But so I just let it ride.
Let it ride.
I think Andrew probably knew. I told him, he's like, of course you did. Like he... And it kind of offended me. It was almost like no one believed I would have been that reckless as a renegade. They couldn't.
Yeah.
They figured that I probably did. I probably got it approved.
You're a rule follower kind of person.
But am I? See, I want. I'm thinking it's time to break that.
Okay.
Like
starting now.
And this was a chance to do that. But I actually,
you made sure that you cleared it before you broke the rule.
I did.
So that's not really breaking the rule.
No. I mean, technically, I've not emailed the state yet. How about that? But I'll do that today before this podcast goes out next week so that it's all aligned.
It'd be great, though, if like you had permission, but then you didn't tell them that you got permission, because then you really could look like you could like stage a phone call where Andrew and them are walking in. They're getting ready to have staff meeting. You're like, you take your son and you stick it where the sun don't shine. Click. And then they come in like, whoa, John. And you're like, yeah, let's get this meeting going. And then now you have this edge.
Yeah.
You're like a rogue cop.
Well, that's what I tried to do. I came in and it was just like, you know, And they were like wow,
don't mess with
you
John.
Took down the sign. And it didn't work.
Right.
I didn't get that.
No.
Nobody, I don't know. There's not that sense of.
It didn't matter.
What do I got to do to get an edge? I don't want to be mean.
Well.
Is that what it requires? Because if that's the case, it's just not worth it. Maybe people who want an edge, they don't care about that. But I don't like it. Like, even if I'm mean to like a telemarketer.
Yeah.
I don't feel great about it.
I don't think you should be mean to telemarketers.
If I'm like, hey, like five times.
I mean, some of them are worse than others where they have a little, they're getting more aggressive when you try
I'm
to
like,
say
hey,
no.
I'm in a meeting. Like, I have to. And they're like, well, sir, at that point, I'm like, you're not respecting my time at this point.
Yeah.
Usually I could just hang up. But
do you say that to them? You're not respecting my time?
I don't know if I've ever said that or not. Probably have. I probably have.
Do you feel like I respect your time, John?
Tony, you know, what is respect really?
What is time? A construct. Speaking of time, John.
Oh, my goodness. See, that's what we call a segue.
Let's go back in time for a segment about this week in history that we call Talk About Then. That's right, John. Mm. This week in 1986, the first computer virus was unleashed.
Really?
It was a floppy disk boot sector virus.
Which, oh, those are the worst.
You know about those.
Yeah.
Became known as Brain. It was written by Pakistani brothers, not going to try to pronounce this, who claimed it was intended to protect their copyrighted medical software from piracy. So they kind of made a virus where if you try to get in, then they're going to, it unleashes.
That's a good idea.
The virus did not destroy data, but it did slow down the floppy disk. The brothers are still in business together as Brain Telecommunications Limited.
Wow.
So they kept the Brain.
But they're the
in
ones that started basically cyber terror.
I don't know. Maybe not, though. Maybe, I don't know if they're the grandfathers of all computer viruses.
I don't blame them for trying to protect their information, but that technology. You know, see, that's the slippery slope.
But would it have happened anyway? Is that what we're, are we blaming them for the whole?
Did they call it a virus?
Yeah. It looks like it, yeah.
So if they coined it, it's kind of like the, again, it's like nuclear technology, you know.
Yeah, but nuclear technology, that's another thing where I read a whole article about how the fear of nuclear. Well, I get what you're saying about nuclear technology being used to, for war, but
it
I'm saying like, but nuclear energy as a source
is like completely clean.
Yeah, and it's been like because we've had a couple of things go bad.
You melt
it
down
just
one
killed.
Or two towns, and everybody
right.
freaks out.
Yeah, I know. Right.
I'm just kidding.
You make five or six green cats with. Okay. Anyway,
here we go.
The first televised U.S. presidential press conference.
Is this going to be Kennedy?
Eisenhower.
I thought Roosevelt had.
It says President Eisenhower's filmed for newsreels and later television broadcasts. Eisenhower announced at the beginning, well, I see we're trying a new experiment this morning. I hope that doesn't prove to be a disturbing influence.
Wow.
Isn't that an interesting, like, foreboding thing to say? No way this will ever be disturbing.
Yeah. You know, I bet our friend Allison was freaking out when we said all that because she knew.
Eisenhower's press secretary, James C. Hagerty, edited the footage before it was released. So it was a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which now we want the straight,
right,
whatever.
We want the
raw.
Mm-hmm.
Although it was the first televised presidential press conference, President Harry S. Truman had previously made a number of televised speeches.
Okay.
So this was a press conference.
Well, I mean, so did Roosevelt, I thought.
I'm just going on what I have here, John. I know you really want to be right.
I do.
But, okay. Here's another presidential one. 1909.
Okay.
A newspaper article is printed about an immense bathtub installed. President-elect William Howard Taft on the USS North Carolina. I thought it was in the White House. It was on the USS North Carolina. Did you know that? I thought it was in the White House. I always assumed this is in the White House. Taft was to travel to the Panama Canal, and his great size of over 300 pounds made the use of a standard tub difficult. Similarly large tubs were installed in the White House, for his use, contributing to the myth that this was done because Taft got stuck in the White House tub, which that's a myth. I think it was. Right. There's people that think he died.
Yeah.
From being stuck in the White House tub.
No.
I'm not one of those people.
I saw, and I cannot remember, I've seen it physically, a shower that was made for him.
Okay.
That, this is, sorry, I'm having, maybe it was at Smithsonian when I was in like eighth grade or something, but this is like an impression. It's like a core memory, so I'm not, it may not be accurate.
Yeah.
But it was like metal coils.
Huh.
Like you step inside of it, it's like a complete surround shower.
Yeah.
And I don't know why I heard that was connected to Taft, but it had like little holes in it, and it would basically like shower you.
Like one of the original stand-up showers with all the multiple heads.
Yeah, but I remember it being really large for a large person to step in and basically.
Huh.
But maybe that was not, but I don't know where I saw that. But I'm sorry. That's not a historical thing. That's just a John's memory.
John's melatonin memory of the day.
I think I want to build one now.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Let's build the Taft shower.
Ugh.
So anyway, yeah, that's a weird one though, but. Myths like that are strange, though, too, like where you they just take on a life of their own, and you're just like, yeah, Taft, just because he was a fat guy.
Yeah.
300 pounds.
It doesn't have to diminish his ability to be the president.
Doesn't.
It didn't.
I mean, if he's trying to lead from the tub, that's probably a problem.
Yeah. I wonder if he, like, set up battleships, like little toy battleships in his own tub.
When did showers just take over?
That's a great question.
Because you don't see a lot of tub people anymore. You just feel like it's a waste of time. You get surrounded by your own filth.
I don't feel that way about a tub. A tub is like now.
It's not to get clean, though.
It's a luxury.
Yeah. It's to like soak.
A shower is utility. A tub is luxury. Yeah. I'm going to guess that happened in the 80s.
The 80s is when showers just
like suddenly.
Became. You stopped seeing as many. You'd see half and half. It's a tub shower. Now you just see stand-up showers in houses a lot.
Yeah.
Very few tubs. Tubs, like you said, it's like a luxury.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Let's stay on the political front for a second. With January 19, 2003, Donald Rumsfeld on the cost of the war said, well, the Office of Management and Budget has come up with a number that's something under $50 billion for the cost, which made me look up the actual cost of the Iraq war. Do you want to take a swing?
He said $50 billion?
He said about $50 billion is what he estimated. This is at the beginning of the war.
I'm going to guess $1.2 trillion.
$3 trillion.
Wow.
Yeah. The Wilkes expedition discovers the continent of Antarctica in 1840 this week and claimed it for the U.S. Can you do that? We don't own Antarctica, do we?
No.
How do you do that? Well, they did. They claimed it.
Yeah.
That's
one of those.
That's a very manifest destiny. We're just going to claim this
what
and
year?
Do it. 1840.
Yeah, that would have been.
So since then, it's just.
I don't know the
it
history.
It didn't stick.
I don't know the history, or even this is crazy. And I'm a little reticent to admit that I don't.
You don't know who owns Antarctica?
Well, I don't like owns
people. Don't
it,
people don't
owns
live
a
there?
Strong word. Like I don't know. Like is there some sort of civil, organization, government, lack of better term? Because I mean, there are indigenous people in Antarctica, aren't there?
I don't know. It's just the penguins out there setting up governments.
And I also want to acknowledge, anytime we say that someone discovered something, generally it means that's the European or the Western discovery or something. Where
right, the Wilkes expedition,
indigenous people had lived there for years. So,
all right, well, born this week in 1946, Dolly Parton.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you watch her New Year's Eve special?
If there's somebody in the world, we talked about this with Denzel being like the last actor that you really can't think of anybody that would say anything bad about him.
Yeah.
Dolly Parton is that for music, right?
In
general.
Did you see her special with Miley Cyrus?
I did not.
On New Year's Eve?
No.
Because, she is Miley Cyrus's godmother.
Godmother, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, she was fantastic.
Yeah. Dolly's the best.
She sang Wrecking Ball.
Dolly
with,
did.
With Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
As a duet.
Mm-hmm.
And then broke into I Will Always Love You. Like okay. in the middle of Wrecking Ball.
Right.
And like it was like their big finale kind of thing. And it was really great.
Dolly. She's man, she's the best. What a great
okay, what,
a,
she, what year? 46?
1946.
So she is
this is January 19th, so yeah, she's she just turned.
What is that?
Would be 77? No, 77. 1946?
She's 76.
76. Well, no, because it's 23.
Oh, you're right. 77. Yeah. My bad. So, this is 23 now.
Are you still writing?
I am. Oh, I wrote a check with 22.
I'm still writing 100, 101, 101 on all my Bitcoin. I can't get anything straight. The first person to swim the English Channel without a life preserver happened, or he was born in 1848, died in 1883. So this is a daredevil. So you get the feeling that, you know, he pulled this off, but then he did something else dumb. Sure enough, I read further down. He was a Navy captain, first to swim the English Channel without a life preserver or other artificial aids, swimming from Dover to Calais in under 22 hours. He died attempting to swim across the Niagara River below Niagara Falls.
Wow.
So he kept his, whatever that adrenaline junkie thing is, yeah. It ended up being. People go over that thing in a barrel. There's a whole museum at Niagara Falls about different devices people have tried to go over the falls. And that's not what he was doing, but
yeah,
people. Oof.
Dude, there's a crazy story, which I wanted to say this. Like, talking about the distraction and the overstimulation. Like, mm-hmm. I've been working on this for a long time. A very, very dense historical biography.
Yeah.
For a proposal that I've made the pitches the last few weeks. And I found I'm slower right now on, like, being able to retrieve words and stuff. Because yeah. I've been so deep in it. So, but one of the stories, it was crazy because it reminded me of going over the falls. So, there was a quasi-independent slave in Nashville named Sally Thomas,
mm-hmm.
who had two sons, multiple sons, but one of her sons, I can't remember his name, Henry, I think. Yeah, Henry and James. I think Henry was the oldest son. Well, when her master died,
mm-hmm.
quasi-independent slaves basically could run their own businesses, whatever. They basically would pay their master a portion, and they yeah. had a lot of independence in terms of just functionally. But it's all a false sense because
right.
you're just one.
You're still paying a tribute and you're...
You're one situation away from being reminded that you're still property.
Yeah.
So that happened. Her master died. She gets, she becomes the inheritance of another family member who needs cash. And though they're selling her and her two sons basically to some plantation in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
So she encourages her older son in his early to mid 20s, I believe his name was Henry, to run away. He runs away, gets caught. Because the Fugitive Slave Act is in place.
Yeah.
Gets caught in Louisville, Kentucky. The first night in jail, escapes with shackles on.
Mm-hmm.
Steals a boat. Floats down the Ohio River.
Yeah.
And goes over the falls of the Ohio.
Okay.
Which I went and looked up. It's a 26-foot drop.
Wow.
Goes over the falls with shackles on in a boat. 26-foot drop and survives. Navigates the boat into Indiana. A good Samaritan takes off his chains and he sneaks into Buffalo, New York, where he is a barber for a little while, but still not safe because of the Fugitive Slave Act, and finally crosses into Canada.
Wow.
Like, that's a real story.
That's
I know
crazy.
That movie Emancipation with Will Smith is out and I haven't got to watch it yet, but watching him escape reminded me. But as I'm studying some of these stories, like,
that's
a real story of Henry
insane.
Thomas and no one really
yeah.
is talking about. But over a 30-foot fall, basically, with chains on. I can't even...
Right.
I can't fathom. But anyway, just remind me of that
crazy
story.
Yeah, yeah, that's nuts. All right, couple left here.
All right.
The tallest married couple, Martin Van Buren Bates, died January 19th, 1919. I didn't know about this. He was 7 foot, 7.5 inches. His wife, Anna Swan, was 7 foot, 11 inches.
Wow.
And they were the tallest married couple. They were billed as the Giants of Seville.
Wow.
And he passed away in 1837. He would have been... Or he born 1837, passed
she
away.
She was 7'11"?
She was 7'11", is what it says. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Okay, and finally, Ham... the Astro Chimp. Do you know about Ham the Astro Chimp, John?
Johnny, I'll say this is not in my...
I was not aware. He died in 1983, born in 1956. He was the first hominid launched into space in 1961.
Wow.
And I always assume, like, when they launch these chimps into space, like, okay, what kind of life do they have? Like, are there weird ramifications to this? Do they die in space? What happens? Because you're testing on animals.
He came home and lived a great life.
He came home. He survived the mission, lived in zoos until his death. So he lived in captivity, but yeah.
Wow.
He'd been trained to respond to lights and operate controls.
Wow.
So he's doing stuff on the ship.
Wow. Look at that.
And what do you do? You know what I'm saying? I can't get you to turn on the camera right.
It's true. It's true. Launch me into space and let's see what happens. I often wonder if I could be, you know, almost like that Armageddon, the movie Armageddon, that scenario where you could train the guys who, you know, are just drilling, oil rig drillers.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean it like that.
The hardest job in the world,
but
they say.
But they're not trained.
It's very dangerous.
But they're not, like, trained. Like,
yeah.
Most astronauts have, like, doctorates
that was the arc of the movie is, like,
Could you train someone? Sorry. It wasn't meaning as if just. I just mean, like, they're not.
Mm-hmm.
They're not ever a master's in physics or whatever.
You've changed, John.
It's true. Guys, I'm sorry. I'm going to go ahead and.
Man.
Yeah. I didn't mean to. Besmirch, as someone might say, the character of those who work on oil rigs. I have great respect.
It's a very dangerous living.
It's an amazing living.
They make good money too, by the
yeah,
way.
They do.
It's really good because it's so dangerous.
Yeah,
and because oil's pretty valuable. I don't know if you noticed this, but oil's pretty valuable around here.
Yeah, I heard. You don't think I could do that, do you?
Oh no.
Working oil.
Oh no.
You don't think?
I don't
Johnny,
think.
I am.
Listen, I don't think you could pour oil if your car was low without spilling it. You ever try to do that and
it's called a funnel.
That's a tough one.
Have you not used a funnel?
What now?
Revolutionize your life.
No, I don't think you could. That whole thing where you got to spin the thing and get the thing to do, and then you.
Oh wow! Don't bring your technical jargon.
It's a lot of.
Is it?
Yeah.
That thing you're going to spin that thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know jack about oil rigs, do you?
No.
Oh my gosh!
I'll learn though.
Will you?
What does it pay? What are the hours?
This would be an amazing, like, we do a documentary, John and Johnny.
Right.
Live on an oil rig.
It's like dirty jobs.
Months.
It's like dirty jobs,
no,
but it's like
3 months.
Dumb jobs.
Yeah.
Like, we're idiots.
We're like dumb people.
Right. Dumb
doing
people trying
jobs.
To do job.
Right.
Any job, really.
Really.
Do you think you'd be suited for, like, a 9-to-5 at this point in
I've
your life?
I've done it before.
And that's not the question. If I was to just drop you off and say, work this shift.
Yeah.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
It's been a while.
You couldn't wrap your mind around not having the autonomy that you have now, John.
I would still have OneNote in my phone where I could write ideas down while I'm doing it.
But no, you got time to lean. You got time to clean.
Right.
That's... Right?
Where did that come from?
I'm your manager now.
Oh, okay. I got
no,
you.
That's movie theater.
Okay.
Movie theater where we worked concessions, and it's just like there's just popcorn butter everywhere, and you gotta. So, but if you're just hanging out, hey, whoa.
Yeah, if you got time to lean.
We need busy beavers back here. You got time to lean, you got time to clean.
Andrew would call it a huddle during construction.
Okay.
If we're all standing around.
Just leaning on your shovels.
This looks like a huddle.
Yeah.
Like, you know, do something, you know.
Yeah.
And that's when I turn to him and be like, hey.
I'm in ministry.
If you don't want me to go steal a sign, you shut your mouth. I've been known for it for years.
It's true.
That's funny. You know what, listener? We hope that you've enjoyed us not shutting our mouths today.
We hope you took this as a sign to listen to more great episodes on talkaboutthat.com, where you can find
actually,
all of
talk
our...
about that podcast.
Talk about that podcast.
Don't go to talkaboutthat.com.
We don't know what that is.
It could be anything, really.
Talkaboutthatpodcast.com. Many, many archived episodes
oh,
for you there.
Too
check
many,
them out.
Maybe.
And yeah, check that out. Oh, Patreon's there too if you want to kick in a few pennies for us and help us make more great things for you.
Yeah. Also like to tell you should go follow and watch Johnny W's comedy at johnnyw.com.
Yeah, tons of shows dropping. The tour for 2023 is kicking off. Man, we're just going so many cool places. I just got back from Junction City, Kansas, which I didn't know was a thing. But beautiful people there, sweet people, and we had a blast.
Yeah.
And I could be coming to your city. The only way to know, johnnyw.com.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you should probably, you should get someone in your life to bring Johnny in, maybe you.
And while you're online looking for those dates, go to Amazon and type in John Driver books.
And you'll see this Mennonite theologian.
Yeah.
And he is
buy
brilliant.
His books. Right. Once you've read those.
Then come to this other guy. You know, I'm beginning to use now John C. Driver.
Yeah. Oh, it's very prestigious.
Yeah, I mean, I need it because there are two of us.
It's a little more of a...
It's like the Highlander. There can be only one.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that guy, so I'm not going to...
No.
I don't really do violence, if you notice that.
Well, and you know he doesn't. He's Mennonite.
Right.
You could take him.
He's... I don't know. He's significantly older than me.
Yeah.
I like to respect my elders.
No, and he's probably... He's built barns and things, maybe, so you don't know what you're up against.
He actually lives in South America. He's like teaches in South America.
Okay.
Teaches theology, written a bunch of theology books, and yeah, I think it's like he's down there helping to train.
So you don't want to challenge him to a fight?
I don't think a blood feud with the other John Driver is really even necessary.
No.
Do you know there isn't a British actor, I think he may have passed away, named John Driver.
Really?
He actually had the @JohnDriver handle for Twitter, but he hasn't.
They haven't.
He hasn't posted anything
estate,
in like 10 years.
And then he died.
I don't know if he died or not, but I wouldn't mind having that handle.
Wow.
But I can't get it. I'm like, hey.
You can't climb up on a ladder and take that down.
Who knows? Maybe I need a listener out there who has a little bit of savvy. Maybe those two guys, the two Pakistani guys with the virus thing, maybe they would help me get this.
No, you need a Xennial for this.
I need a Xennial.
Somebody to be like, whoa, dude. Hey, man.
Slaps.
Yeah, swag. Dude, your Twitter handle slaps. Sick. You know who could use this? I don't know why we're talking that way. We apologize, Daniels. We love you.
Yeah, my bad. Hey, we're also excited about our new partnership with lifeaudio.com. You can go to lifeaudio.com, and you can find all kinds of other cool podcasts, other programs, about an assortment, Johnny, a variety, a cornucopia.
A sundry.
Yeah. Yes, so many things there. Cool people. They've been having a good time getting to know them. And we're going to be actually doing a little co-episode here soon.
A collab.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, coming up. So be on the lookout for those things. Also, make sure you're checking out our extra bonus episodes, Johnny.
The mini-sodes.
Yeah, the mini-sodes are out right now. We're doing this series in the month of January, just kind of talking about New Year's type stuff.
All things New Year.
So, you know, if you enjoy the hour with us, but you're like, man, you know what? I could take 12 to 15 minutes more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when you finish like a salty meal, you're like, I need something sweet.
Yeah.
That's the mini sode.
That's what this is.
That's the little little brownie with ice cream on it for
you. Oh, my goodness. We're just here to give you the things that you love.
And diabetes.
And I mean, also, well, I don't know how we're going to do that.
I was just comparing us to the brownie with ice cream. That's all. I meant.
That's great.
That's fine.
And guys, thank you for the time you spent with us. And we'll look forward to doing it again next week on
Talk About That.
Hello, hello, Quinice Petway here, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. Are you someone who loves to take a deep dive into God's Word, one verse at a time, to explore His will for your life and desire to draw closer to Him? If that sounds like you, I'd love to invite you to head over to lifeaudio.com and search Your Daily Bible Verse to tune in and subscribe for daily inspiration, life application, and spiritual transformation through the in-depth exploration of God's Word.